Earlier we sang the song, transform our minds, transform our hearts, conform us, make us more like Christ. And that's my prayer this morning as we open God's Word. So I have a question to throw out to you. You don't have to answer, but just something to think about. Have you ever had a job where you were not given a job title or a job description? I remember the very first job that I ever had. I was young, of course, but they just said, come show up for work. And so I showed up for work. I had no idea what I was going to be doing. They just said, show up, and they'd let me know. So I show up to work, and sure enough, they put me to task. And the day ended, and the next day, show up for work. And this went on for a long time, months, and I never knew what I was or what my job responsibilities were. It was just show up and do your thing. Well, it was okay, I guess, because you never knew from day to day what you were going to be doing. But just imagine if this were a large company with several hundred or thousand employees and you just told everybody that this job that I had was with a larger company where we manufactured kitchen and bathroom cabinets and vanities, and I don't know how many employees there were, but there were a few hundred. Could you imagine if we were just all told, show up and do something? There wouldn't be anything getting done because nobody would know what they're supposed to do. Well, we did. We all had job titles. We all had specific job descriptions. And when we showed up, we knew exactly what we were supposed to do. Take that now to the body of Christ. There's an estimated 2 billion Christians around the world, and I know that number can be debatable. You know, what do you truly classify as a Christian? But those are the numbers that they throw out. And God has told us, don't just relax and party and have fun now that you're a Christian. He wants us to be serving Him. He wants us to be doing things as Christians. Well, how are you supposed to know what to do if you haven't been given a job description or even a job title, if you haven't been told what to do? Well, every single Christian, every single one of you has been given a job title. You've been given a job description. You've been told what to do. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. But before we get ahead of ourselves, I want you to open in your Bibles, and if you don't have one, there's some in front of you there in the chairs in front of you. But open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We began this series last week where we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. And if you weren't here last week, I highly encourage you to go to the Echo Mountain website, and you can find the messages there and take a listen to last week's message, because you really need to get that introduction as to where we're going. But Paul begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with verse 1. He says, now concerning spiritualities or things of spiritual nature, and we talked quite a bit about that last week. Brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Now, I explained last week that the church in Corinth was a very unique church in that it was a very large city, and it was an extremely pagan city with lots of spiritual things going on that were anything but biblical. And a lot of these young believers in the Corinthian church had come out of this paganism. And so when it came to things of spiritual nature, there was a lot of confusion and a lot of misunderstanding. And as Paul says, you are ignorant or uninformed about these things. And so Paul then says, you know, there was all these supernatural or spiritual, I would call satanic imitations of the true biblical thing. So Paul wants to explain what are the true biblical spiritualities. And he says, verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So the spiritual things that Paul is about to address with this church, he identifies them as varieties of gifts, varieties of service or ministries, varieties of activities. These are the results that God does, and manifestations or empowerments of the Holy Spirit. So through this series, we're going to look at each of those four types of spiritualities. But to make them a little easier to understand, I'm going to move the order around a little bit to something that we can understand better. We're going to look at first the job titles. Then we're going to look at the gifts of God, the spiritual gifts to help us do those job titles. Then we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit empowers us to do those jobs. And then we're going to finish up, wrap up, and seeing how God gets results through us as we use these different job titles. So first he mentions, or we're talking about job titles or ministries. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. This is where Paul talks about the job titles. He begins this letter by reminding us of God's grace and our position in Christ because of God's grace. And then he goes on to tell us how we as Christians should be walking in that grace. In chapter 2, for example, verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And if you don't have that underlined, highlighted in your Bible, I would encourage you to do that. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says again, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called." So Paul says, okay, God prepared beforehand. He created you for this good work. He says, now walk in that good work. And he goes on, and don't miss verse 2. "With all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." You kind of catch a little theme going on in there. We talked about this last week, that when it comes to God and his working in our lives, and when we look at all the gifts and the things that he has us called, it's all about unity. We're doing it in unity for the purpose of love. It's all about unity. Now follow along as I continue, looking at verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things." Now, that little section right there could take a whole message in and of itself. But basically, he's quoting here from Psalm 68, verse 18. And the whole point of his little message here is that Christ has the authority. He has the authority to gift us in any way that he chooses to gift us. That's his whole point here. And so then he goes on to say, hear how Christ has gifted you. This is the job title that he has given you. Verse 11, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers." Your ministry, or your job title, as I like to call it, is one of these four things. You're either an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, or a pastor teacher. Now, we're going to spend the rest of the message this morning talking about those four categories. And when we're done, hopefully you'll be able to recognize which one you fall into. But we need to look at something that Paul says here. First of all, there's this little simple word, but. Verse 7, he says, but. Now, often when you see that word, you take it to mean that it's something in exception to what was previously said. For example, it's like saying, you know, in the daytime it's light outside, but at nighttime it's dark outside. You know, there's this exception. Or when it's 212 degrees Fahrenheit, you can inhale water. But when it's 32 degrees Fahrenheit, water is super hard. It's hard as rock. You can't inhale it. You can't do anything with it. You know, there's this contrast kind of a thing. But here in this particular passage, Paul is using but in a little bit different sense. It's where two conditions exist. For example, at 32 degrees, water is very hard, but it's also very cold. So you've got this contrast, but both conditions exist at the same time. So Paul has just gotten through emphasizing this whole idea of unity, that as a whole body, all of this needs to be done in unity. But while that condition is true, this one body, one spirit, one hope, one faith, one Lord, etc., while unity is very important and it must exist, he says, but, Paul says in contrast, I want to speak to each one of you individually. And I want to share something that is true for each individual believer. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Verse 7. There's two important things that we need to point out here. This is not talking about saving grace. And it's not talking about spiritual gifts, which we're going to start getting into next week. You're not going to want to miss this. More specifically, it's referring to God's enabling grace, that which is in proportion to the gift of good works that God created beforehand in Christ Jesus, that Christ gives to each individual believer. So putting that in context, keeping in context of Paul's letter here, he wrote earlier in chapter 2, verse 10, and I read it earlier, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. 1 Peter 4:10 puts it this way, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So do you get what Paul's telling us here? Each person has been given a grace gift from Christ. It was prepared beforehand. He has also given the exact proportion, and I love this, of God's enabling grace to do what he's called you to do. And I hope you caught that, because that is so important. In other words, these are not just a list of things that you can pick and choose from, and oh, I feel like doing this today, or I don't feel like that, or that's not me. These are specific works or Christ gifts that God has given to each and every believer, and we are told to walk in them. Walk in those things. And you can't say, well, I'm not trained or I'm not prepared or I'm not qualified. I can't do it. God has given the exact proportion of grace necessary for you to do what he's called you to do. And we're going to look more at that in the coming weeks. It's really exciting. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. It's already in place. It's already been prepared. It's already there for you. And we're to walk in them. So what Paul has done for us is he has categorized these good works into four major categories. He calls them ministries, job titles. each of us falls into one of them. So to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. You're one of those four. So let's look at them. First, Paul says that you have been gifted by Christ with the job of apostle. Now, when we think of apostle, what's the first thing that comes to our mind? We think of the 12, right? That's just kind of a natural thing. And we seem to think that, well, there's the 12 apostles and that's it. There's never any more. They are, in fact, the 12 founding apostles. They were the ones that set the example for the church, and we have high respect for them. But that was just one type of apostle that's talked about in Scripture. The Bible speaks of other apostles as well. Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at several different Scripture passages, but it's important if we're going to really understand what these different job gifts are. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, "For I think that God has exhibited us, apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men." So who is it that God, that they're talking about? Who did God exhibit as apostles? Well, look at verse 6. "I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit." It's Paul and Apollos that he's referring to as being apostles here, and they were not part of the original 12. Look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, "Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace." And so we're told right off who these three people that are addressing the church. It's Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. They're the ones setting the greeting to the church. And look at what they say in verse 5 of chapter 2. "For it never came with words of flattery, as you know, or with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether you from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ." Here he's calling the three of them as apostles. Again, not part of the original 12. Other scriptures, we won't turn to all of them, but there's several that talk about people being apostles. Galatians 1:19, we see Barnabas. Acts 14:4, there's Andronicus and Junius. Romans 16:7, possibly Barsabbas and Silas. Acts 15. The Bible also warns us that there will be those who will disguise themselves as apostles. 2 Corinthians 11:13 calls them false apostles or deceitful workers. Revelations 2:2 says basically the same thing, that there will be men who will disguise themselves as apostles, and that we're to be aware. It's not that they dress themselves up to look like the original 12, but they go around pretending to be a witness for and a servant of Jesus Christ. And the Bible warns us. The Greek word for apostle, and I've written it on your outline there, it literally means one sent as an authoritative delegate to be a witness for Christ in word and deed. That is a modern day apostle. One who has been sent and given the authority to be a witness for Christ, both in word and in deed. That word apostle is actually found in the New Testament 79 times. And the majority of those refer to someone who has been appointed by Christ to do a special function in the church. And often we see the apostle has been commissioned or empowered to go out and proclaim the gospel. But other passages of Scripture show apostles as simply being a servant in the church, a servant to others. Some passages even say the apostle's job is a self-sacrifice that entails suffering. So it's sacrificing your time, your effort, who you are to serve others. 1 Corinthians, I've written down some scriptures there in your outline that talk about this. Jesus said in Mark 16:15 that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Luke 9:60, again, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Those are apostles given the authority and the command to go out and deliver the gospel. And I say that we're all apostles. But some of you have been called and you have been gifted. You have a passion to do that very thing in your everyday life. You know, whether you're just standing in the checkout line and the person next to you just feel like you must share the gospel with them. You might be an apostle. Perhaps God has called you to help in the nursery or in the kitchen or whatever. You might be an apostle. Anywhere where you have a passion to just be of service to others, a passion to serve Christ, a passion to sacrifice of yourself, to give to others, you might be an apostle. I think Apollos, Barnabas, Timothy, they're all good examples for us of what an apostle is. They traveled with Paul. They served Paul. They served in the churches. They were involved in the evangelistic efforts. They stayed in some of the churches and actually served in those churches. But they demonstrated what an apostle would be. They demonstrated serving for Christ. And so perhaps that's what God has gifted you with. Maybe he's called you as an apostle. Just one who wants to serve. Just wants to be out there. Just sharing the love of the Lord with those around you. And believe me, there are plenty of places even here in Echo Mountain where you can exercise that gift of being an apostle. And if you're wondering what it is, come talk to one of us and we'll let you know. But that might be your gift, being an apostle. Well, next Paul says that you may have been gifted by Christ with the job of prophet. And again, here's another title, a term that we don't really think much of. When you think of prophet, you immediately think of the Old Testament prophets who foretold the future. The prophets Isaiah and Micah both foretold the birth of Christ, roughly 740 years before Christ even came. 1,000 years before Christ, David foretold exactly how Christ was going to die. 600 years before Christ, Daniel foretold when he would die. 500 years before, Zechariah foretold of all the events that would occur leading up to Christ's death. Have you ever noticed that every single one of their prophecies was 100% accurate? That's the sign of a true prophet. Now, folks, people today who claim to be that kind of a prophet, they're not. They're not 100% accurate. However, the New Testament does talk of a different kind of a prophet, a modern-day prophet, as considerably different. A New Testament prophet is someone who has the God-given ability to reveal God's will from God's already established truth. Did you catch that? We have God's word. A modern-day prophet is someone who has the ability to reveal that, to make it clear, to apply it. Another way to put it, a modern-day prophet is someone who declares the truth. And perhaps you've known somebody like that. They have this ability to be able to walk into an extremely difficult situation where things just don't make any sense, and yet they have this ability of understanding it clearly and applying God's word to it and being able to apply God's truth as a solution to what that issue, that particular issue is. For example, someone might be extremely discouraged or depressed and can't really understand why, but this prophet would come along and God would just give them the ability to be able to understand why they're discouraged, and they would give them the exact scriptures to be able to apply to that situation to encourage them, to build them up. That would be a modern day prophet. Somebody might be struggling in their Christian walk, having a difficult time morally or spiritual. Prophet would be able to come along and apply God's word to be able to perhaps point out what the problem is, maybe to discipline the person or to encourage them. But that would be a modern-day prophet. Modern-day prophet can also warn somebody scripturally, advise them, correct them if they're faltering in some area of their walk. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14, 3. A New Testament prophet is one that we're told comforts, edifies, and exhorts. 14, 3. The one who prophesies speaks to people for the upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. That's a modern day prophet. Have you ever watched a fellow brother or sister in the Lord just really struggle in an area of their Christian walk, and you just don't quite know how to encourage them with that? If you're a modern day prophet, God's going to give you out of his word what you need to apply to that situation. It's just going to come naturally to you to be able to apply God's word to encourage that brother or that sister who's struggling. You'll know exactly what to share. If that sounds like you, then you are a modern-day prophet. You might even exercise this gift of prophet in a professional level as a counselor. There are some Christian counselors out there who have this gift of prophet where they can just naturally apply God's word to encourage and build up and help somebody. Well, after prophet, Paul says that you may have been gifted by Christ with the job of an evangelist. Now, there's not a lot that needs to be said about this one. This one, I think, is pretty clear. It's referring to someone who has a passion for going out and sharing the good news. And it would be in a full-time capacity. Somebody that has been called what we would call a missionary. They've been called to go out into some part of the world, and that is their full-time 100% lifestyle of just sharing God's truth. And I might add, at any cost. All of us have been told to go out and share the good news. We've all been commanded, but typically what we do is we do it through what we call lifestyle evangelism. You know, you just happen to be at work and have a conversation with a coworker, and it just leads into being able to share God's good news with them. Or like I shared earlier, and standing in the checkout, and you just share with the person next to you. That would be lifestyle evangelism. But if you have been called by God to take it up as your full-time vocation, to go out leaving everything behind, sacrificing it all to share the good news, you would have this gift, this job title of evangelist. There's few people that really have that kind of zeal or that kind of passion, especially when it can take that kind of a cost. But that's what the Apostle Paul says the gift of evangelist is. Perhaps that's you. Well, the fourth job title or ministry gift that we've been given is that of pastor and teacher. Now, there's been some who've tried to split those apart and say, no, those are two separate things. But I don't think so. And when you look at this particular passage in the original Greek and you look at the grammatical structure of this, these two words go together. They've been included as one. You might even say that it's referring to a teaching pastor. though it is speaking of one job title, it does consist, though, of two separate responsibilities. So somebody who's been called as a teaching pastor would have the responsibility of pastor and the responsibility of teacher. A pastor is someone who has a heart, a deep passion for caring for shepherding the flock of God. They care deeply about guarding and protecting, defending, warning, I would even say challenging or instructing, motivating, whatever you want to call it, the body of Christ. This teacher is passionate about feeding the flock of God. And he will do it in a way that the sheep can understand God's word. I remember somebody one time sharing that a good shepherd will put the food down where the sheep can reach it. And that's what a good pastor will do, what a good pastor teacher will do. He'll be able to put the word of God down at a level where you can feed on it, where you can understand it, where you can be getting nutrition from it. He will build up, he will encourage the body of Christ in whatever job that they've been called to do. He will feed, he will shepherd. Simply put, the pastor teacher protects and feeds. Protects and feeds. Pastor Dale has that kind of heart. And the more I've gotten to know him, the more I see that. He truly has a heart for protecting the body of Christ and for feeding the body of Christ. And that's my heart. I want to protect you from the lies and the deception of the enemy, from these false apostles that the Bible warns us of wolves that come in sheep's clothing, feed you of God's word, so that you can be encouraged and that you would grow in Christ. To build you up, encourage you, equip you, and train you so that you can do the job that God has appointed you to, that God has called you to. I have no doubt of what my calling is. What's your calling? Which of those four job titles, of those ministries, has God called you in? Because you have been called to one of them. And as we've mentioned, we're to walk in those as God's grace has been apportioned accordingly. So does it come naturally to you to just strike up a conversation with somebody and share the gospel? Do you have a passion for encouraging others and for serving others and just for doing things that need to be done? Perhaps you're an apostle. Maybe you're a prophet. Do you have a gift from God? Do you have the ability to understand people's circumstances and to be able to apply God's word to it? Does it just come naturally to be able to take God's word and just say, this is what you need? You'd be a prophet. Perhaps you're an evangelist. Do you have the passion? Do you have the calling to leave everything behind and to go and share God's truth at any cost? Does pastor teacher sound like you? Do you have a passion for protecting God's body, for protecting and feeding and nurturing God's sheep? Kind of summarize all of what we've just talked about as this. An apostle, and I've got this in your outline, is somebody who is sharing or demonstrating God's truth. A prophet is somebody who declares God's truth. An evangelist is somebody who explains or spreads God's truth. And a pastor teacher would apply God's truth. Which category do you fall in? If you're not sure, I would encourage you to pray about it and ask God to clearly show you what has he called you in? What did he create beforehand through Christ for you? If you don't know what you've been called to, pray about it. But if you do know what you've been called to, as Paul put it, walk it in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We've all been given the enabling grace necessary to do the job that he's called us to do. And so I would encourage you, discover what that gift, what that job title, what that ministry is, and walk in it. Next week, we're going to go the next step, and we're going to look at how you do those particular job titles. We're going to get into what the Bible says are spiritual gifts. And it's going to be exciting. So I encourage you to come back. Father, we thank you for your word. Just thank you that you have laid out for us everything that we know need to know to be able to serve you. And that if we're truly listening to you, if we're truly feeding on your word, we'll understand. And so, God, I just pray for each person here this morning that if they're not sure where you've called them, that you would make it so clear that there'd be no doubt in their mind. And when we know what our job is that you've created beforehand, that you've called us to, we just pray, Father, that you would give us the courage, the boldness to do what you've called us to do, to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Father, again, I just give you thanks for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.